Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. Across from me is Travis, and to my right is Mr. John Moorbacher. And today we're going to be talking about some red letter words of Jesus, some red letter of the scriptures. If you ever notice, if you open your Bible, there are some parts that are red letter. That usually indicates that they are words of Jesus. And so we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture that is all Jesus talking. We're going to be unpacking that just a little bit as we walk through this. I was kind of just thinking about how our world is turned upside down. We just don't know which way to go, whether it be politically, and we're not picking sides on that on this show, or even like with, do we wear a mask? Do we not wear a mask? Do we get vaccinated? Do we not get vaccinated? There's all of these things coming at us and in the midst of this thing, and there's all of these tensions that are just a part of this thing. And yet this passage talks really about a constant in our lives, a constant that we, as ones who have put our faith in Jesus, that he talks and he promotes what we should do in situations like this. It's really kind of connected to this lordship of Jesus. It's not just that he's our savior, that he died on the cross for us and shed his blood for us, but it's bigger than that. It is who he is in our day-to-day lives. And so John's going to read a little bit, and then we're going to talk just a little bit about the passage.
All right, this is John 15. I'm guessing you want me to start at verse 1, eh?
Sounds like a plan.
He's a youper now,
you
eh?
Hear that?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, there we go. This is Jesus speaking, as you said. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Is that good?
Yeah, that's probably good. That's a lot, man.
I was going to keep going.
You're just keep going. Keep going with the old Jesus words.
There's like 500 more pages here.
Yeah, there's probably are. Yeah, so let's just kind of unpack that. Jesus is talking to his disciples, talking to the followers of him, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. We don't live in an agrarian wine culture as they did. I don't know. Can you make wine in the UP? Is there any place
that makes grapes up here at all? Like,
I think Michigan State came up with some type of grape.
That'll
the frozen, survive. Yeah, the frozen vineyard.
I've never seen
any up
here. There's
probably somebody up here making some kind of weird wine. Because you can do wine with other fruits as well.
Yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think you can probably do Concord grapes here, which is like what you get Welch's grape juice.
Mm.
Probably some weird wine.
I love Welch's grape juice.
Yeah. Anyway, we kind of have gotten off on this. So we don't live in that culture.
I think you talk about the grapevine part of it, like the branches that came off the one main vine produced the grapes. And I've been, you know, I'm not a farmer, but I've had the opportunity to do a little bit of farming back in my days, more like gardening. My grandparents had a big garden when I was a kid, and we had to go and help them out with that when we stayed there. But they had grapes. They were Concord grapes, but they were still delicious. But like, it was really cool to see that one branch and then all these vines that came off of it. And so to actually understand what that looked like, there were branches that produced nothing. Mm-hmm. And you did have to go and you had to trim those off. And like, some of them were still alive, or they had like little grapes that looked like raisins already. But then there was other ones that were green and not ripe yet. And as my grandpa would prune those things and trim that off, that would strengthen the rest of the plant so that the grapes that were there, you had big, delicious, juicy grapes. So that is a really cool concept here.
Yep. Yeah.
It's almost like an umbilical cord in a baby, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel. Like, I think about this. I think about, like, Jesus is, this is weird to say. He's kind of like the mother, and we're kind of the child that is being knit together. Mm-hmm. But it's this intimacy, this connection. It's our nutrients. It's our food. It's our whole being rest, our whole spiritual being rest on being connected to him. Just as a child is connected to his mama in that way. He's talking to some people that he absolutely loves and he absolutely cares about. He's talking to both the Jewish or the Israel people, people of Israel, people that were chosen by God to bless other nations as they followed God. And he's also talking to kind of the individuals, his disciples in this. And he's readying them for when he departs, when he leaves and the church is without him. The church is forming, and he continues to tell them that he is this gardener. He wants something to happen. What does he want to happen in our lives?
You asked the question, what's the goal here? The goal is fruit. Jesus wants fruit. He's talking here about how to experience abundant fruit, which, you know, this is one of those things for me in my Christian walk that has been really helpful to realize that there may be some good things out there for me to go after that have nothing to do with God. But what we're talking about here is this idea that there's more abundant fruit. There's better things to go towards. And I often think about, you know, the difference between good and best. You know, so often I think we're okay with good or just okay or fine. What Jesus is talking about here is abundance. It's what's best. I think that can be a barrier sometimes for people who aren't walking with the Lord is I'm doing okay on my own. To that, I would often say, yeah, you're doing okay there, but there's more. There's abundance.
I think you're right. Like when you follow Jesus, you want to walk in the ways of him. Yeah. It's you're never more human than when you're connected to Jesus. And I think we forget sometimes that we live in a apocalypse world. Everything was perfect. Everything was good in Genesis. And then the fall happened, which sin entered into the world. And now we live in not a zombie apocalypse, but close to it, right?
Yeah.
And so there are still some good things here. But the reality is Jesus is on this restoration project of helping us to walk into this thing and to have these nutrients and this fruit in our lives to actually live in a human way in which we cannot do on our own, to grow and to bear fruit and to live a life that is full.
That abundance part of it strikes me because you look at that passage as we are, and it says that he cuts off the branches that bear no fruit, but he also prunes the ones that do have fruit so that they can produce more. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you hear or you think or you talk to people like, oh, if I just do this Jesus thing, like I know my life's going to be just perfect, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. And it's not. And that's what Jesus is saying right here. It's not, but it will be fruitful.
Yeah. The pruning, we can often think of that as a negative thing, mm-hmm. but really it's an act of kindness that Jesus would prune things from our lives that are preventing us from producing that abundance. But the hard reality to wrap our minds around often is that the pruning is often still painful. The pruning is usually still hard. The pruning usually will cause us to question what's happening. But ultimately, it's a matter of trusting the vine dresser, trusting the one who's coming to do that pruning.
To go into more of a practical thing, what does it mean to remain in me and I will remain in you? I think there's a lot of things out in the world where we feel like they're really good, and our orientation gets off. We could talk about many different social issues.
Or the fact that I ate a whole bag of gummy bears today and that's it, and my tummy's going, bleh.
Yeah, we could talk about that too, but I don't think that's exactly. But I think we get off and we go, well, I feel like this is right. I don't know why others don't see it this way. And these are sometimes our brothers and sisters in the church, mm-hmm. these blood-bought sons and daughters of the Most High. We're like, hey, I don't understand. But part of it is we're disconnected from the one who sustains, the one who gives nutrients, the one who directs, the one who guides. And we get into these places where we actually don't know because we're disconnected. Or we only have a little line kind of coming in. Mm-hmm. And it's that we're like that straggly fruit that's on the side. And Jesus is like, hey, you need to have this connection to me in order to actually understand the apocalypse of this world and that it's not the way it's supposed to be. I have a different way for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's even like the trees, I forget which ones they are, like maple trees will do that. They have the little offshoots of the roots off of the big tree. And like if you look at those things, they usually don't last very long. Mm-hmm. They get withered. They get all like wrinkly and pruny.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the concept here. Like you've got to be connected and plugged in to the life source, which is Jesus. And when we can do that, that changes perspective on life. It changes mm-hmm. the goals that we pursue. Even if we face those moments that are painful where we do experience some things that he's working in our hearts and eliminating from our lives, it's for our good. It's for our ultimate more connectedness, deeper relationship with Christ.
Well, and I also think it produces unity within the church.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, so here at Evangel, we have Democrats and Republicans that come here.
And two libertarians.
And two libertarians, yeah. I think it's beautiful because it's not the issue. Like, we can discuss things together. We can walk through things together. We can disagree on the politics of our country. And yet, the thing that we hold to most dearly that unifies us is the one who we're connected to, and that is Jesus. What it comes down to when we're unified is we become a cluster of grapes because we're unified because we're connected to the vine together.
Mm-hmm. To be the millennial sitting around the table, as Levi likes to remind everyone. You know, I grew up in an era where video games were readily available. And sometimes I think about, and I'm a little bit of a retro video game fan, so I've got some old systems laying around. And the interesting thing is, you know,
an Xbox.
That's pretty old.
The original Xbox One.
Get out of here. So, but I've had this experience with my kids where we've got a Sega Genesis and we've got a Nintendo and we've got all the different accessories laying around, but they're not interchangeable. They were designed for a specific purpose, you know. So if you take the Sega controller and try to plug it into the Nintendo, it's not going to work. If you try to take the cartridge for one and take it to the other, it's not going to work because it's not designed to work that way. And so I like to think about that when I read this passage in terms of what I was designed for, what we are designed for as people is to be connected to that source, which is Jesus.
It was always the way, right? Yes, like right. Adam and Eve, if you read in the Genesis account, they were connected to God. They were walking in the coolness of the night, and they were connected. There was this intimacy.
It's a return to where we belong.
Yeah, I find this passage just really fascinating. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And there's this deep love that he's describing in this. Now remain in my love. And then he says, verse 10, and I think this is another lordship thing that helps us in the apocalypse to discern what we're supposed to do in our next steps. It says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And so culture can go any way it wants to go. And yet, this love is not based off of, well, I want you to feel okay, millennial John. It's different than that. It is, I'm going to be obedient to what Christ has said. And that is not only loving to myself, it is actually loving to you and to you who may have a different perspective on the apocalypse. But I'm discerning as I'm loving, as I'm remaining in him. And I'm actually, you're creating something that's actually really beautiful. And so I think where we get into trouble with this is when we start to think that we're more righteous than the next guy. And so when I think I'm more righteous than the millennial, I get myself into trouble. The sins of a Gen Xer are just as bad as the sins of the millennial.
Or worse.
No, that's nonsense, poppycock.
You don't know this because this is audio, but he's staring at me the whole time. Very uncomfortable.
I just want you to understand the point.
Yeah.
No, I think that there's something about this, though, that our connection to who Christ is and part of our remaining in him is being dedicated to his commands, not in a religious way, like I'm going to earn my salvation, but this is the life force. This is what's best for me. And I try to do usually what's best for me. Usually I try to. Yeah. And I try to, like, I want this best life possible. I want this best thing out there, which you were talking about, good and best. And it's always rooted in loving Jesus, loving what he has to say for our lives, and stepping in this world with him.
Yeah. This, to me, is where faith comes in. Because, as you said earlier, we live in a broken world where putting our trust in someone else to be in control of everything is not usually the best idea. And so there's a little bit of a barrier there of trust and of faith to trust that when we abide in Christ, as some versions of this say, or remain, we're connecting ourselves and submitting ourselves to the King of Kings, to the Creator of the universe. And so that's a different kind of submission, or saying, I'll give you control. That's different than saying to the government or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to go down that road. But you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We're kind of broken in that way, that it makes it hard for us to do this. Verse 5, when Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, I think those words should maybe haunt us a little bit and lead us to humility and say, we're very reliant, or at least we should be reliant on Christ if we want to do anything that really matters.
Mm-hmm. I like how you bring that faith concept into it, because as you look at how verse 9 ends and progresses into 10, now remain in my love, that's a faith thing, like to remain somewhere. But as we keep commands, we don't want to have anybody else tell us what to do.
No,
we want to be in command over our own selves, our own lives.
Yeah.
But when we walk in faith in that way, we're going to be connected to Jesus, mm-hmm. to the Father. We're going to have that spiritual nourishment in our lives. And like, that's a strength producing thing. That's a strength increasing effort in our spiritual walk. And God says, yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit. We're going to prune some things out of you that aren't good as you walk mm-hmm. with me and abide with me and get that life to the full, but it's going to be for your good.
Yeah.
It is. And I think this passage, if you were not going to have time to get to the bottom part of it, but it talks about persecution mm-hmm. and why are people persecuted? And I think, you know what? I hate people who tell me that I'm wrong. I'll just be honest. I don't like it. Even if I am wrong, I don't like to hear that I'm wrong.
Sure.
And I think most of us are based in that. And I think when you're walking in love, you're walking in the ways of God, there is a light that is radiating out of you because he's working in you, and it comes out of you in such a way that people are discomfort. There's a discomfort. Now, I believe you have to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of our sins. I believe that. But I think that there is something when that's happening, when you're doing the right thing. I don't like the guy who always does the right thing.
The Ned Flanders?
Yeah. Nobody likes Ned Flanders,
no,
right?
No.
Because there's something about that radiates out of that person, and it's light in darkness. And I think that's where the difficulty comes, is like, am I going to choose this intimacy with Christ? I'm going to walk with him, even though it's not going to be easy, because this world is, he says this mm-hmm. world is going to hate you mm-hmm. for this. I don't think it's because you're telling always them something. We don't sit around and talk about everyone's sin, and when you walk in the door, you know, say, hey, this is the sin you have, this is a sin that you have. But when you start to open up the scripture, you start to live this thing out, it reveals these things. It reveals things in my life that, yeah. you know, man, you're angry. Like, quit that. Like, the Spirit's speaking, and you start to go, man, I don't like that. I don't like when people tell me that. I don't like when there's people around me in that. And there's a dislike. Even though I know Jesus, there's still a dislike in that. And especially if you don't have any concept of Jesus, or you don't know who he is, or you've rejected Jesus, this comes to the forefront even more so.
That's the beautiful thing about the light shedding into those things. When we are hiding those things inside, that holding on to that fruit that's all wrinkly that needs to be pruned off, when it gets pruned off, when it gets let go, how freeing is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't want to just go point out. But when you point out and you're honest with God, that's when I think that pruning happens, that it's not always comfortable, but it's always good.
Yeah. And sometimes I think it takes time to really understand and really feel the weight of that, some of those things being taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, sometimes it feels like the opposite when you're in the middle of some pruning. You feel like there's actually more being added on, more weight, more burden. And again, I think a lot of times it just takes time to see where that's really going, how it's going to play out.
The last thing in verse 17 that Jesus gives a command, and this is a command for all of us today, it says this: this is my command. These are red words that Jesus says. He says, this is my command, love each other. And so our friends out there who are listening, love each other and know that God loves you.
Hey, if you guys enjoyed what we talked about today or want to find other Pearls and Swine podcasts, you can look for us at Evangel Houghton Podcast on your Apple Podcast or Google Play device. And you can always check out evangelup.org for the latest Pearls and Swine episodes. Hey, we enjoyed our time hanging out with you guys. We'll be praying for you. We love you. Take care.